Leviticus chapter 20, find your place there. We're going to read two verses, 25 and 26, and then the ladies will come after I pray. We'll sing one more song. Ladies, y'all be ready to sing since we're done. Okay, we're praying, and we'll enjoy the song, and then jump right into the message tonight. And it's not as lengthy as it normally would be on a Sunday evening because I know we are starting a few moments late. Let's stand together, please, in honor of the Word of God. We're reading verses 25 and 26. Please join me on the 26th verse, Leviticus 20, third book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus, chapter 20. And I'm reading verse 25. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Dear Father, thank you for the ladies that have been with us this evening, their ministry and song. Continue to bless the church and the school there in Oklahoma City. And Lord, thank you for those from our church that have graduated from there, gone on to serve you or serving you, getting ready to serve you now. What a blessing the school has been. Lord, bless them as they travel with journeying mercies. Give them grace and strength throughout the remainder of their tour, please. Open our hearts tonight to your word. And Lord, may we see wondrous things. May it speak to us and change us a little bit for thy glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Burn what you build in this life. Is it gonna burn? Will you lose it?
Ladies, that's a sobering song, isn't it? Yeah, kind of goes along with that message we preached on the judgment seat of Christ not too many weeks ago. And boy, you sure don't want to stand there empty-handed in that day, no doubt about it. I want to speak tonight on the subject, among them but not like them. Among them but not like them. My text, verse 26, messages come to you in all ways, but I get most of my messages just from devotionally reading the Word of God. And I was reading my devotions the other morning, and this passage, I've been in this passage here beginning in chapter 16, 17, 18. Boy, verse 26 really gripped my heart. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy. And this is the phrase that really got, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Well, that's pretty strong. So I want to speak on among them, but not like them. Okay, dear Father, speak to our hearts tonight, and I pray that this will be an informational, instructional message, maybe a little inspiration as well to us, Lord, for us to be holy, to live for you because we belong to you, and Lord, not to be caught up in living like the present world. Please help us now in this day and age of unprecedented compromise, God, to stay true. You made the church the pillar and ground of the truth. I pray that we would stay that. Help us to be that and stay that throughout the remainder of time on earth, please. In Jesus' name, amen. God is very jealous of his people. Sometimes we might refer to someone here on earth as being very clannish. Are any of your children that way? You know, we had six kids. Some of our children are clannish. What I mean by clannish, they're very protective of their family. Very protective of their clan. It's funny, they might mistreat a family member and that's okay. But don't you mistreat the family member or it's cause for war. Amen. It's clannish, okay? And some are like that. I would not stoop to calling God clannish, but I will say again, he is very jealous of his people. Very jealous of his people. Probably that might have something to do with the price that was paid to purchase them. Being separated from his own son. And watching him suffer like that on the cross of Calvary and bleed every drop of blood in his body. Maybe that has something to do with it, you know, being jealous for us and for his children. So in Leviticus, God gives details about the worship, the walk, and the works of his people. And by the way, that's a good order to consider. He gives instruction about the worship, the walk, and the work. We are most effective when we live in that order. Worship God, walk with God, and then work for God. Our Achilles heel as independent fundamental Baptists is we have the order inverted. We work, 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 busy, 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 walk with God for 15 minutes in the morning and never worship him. Because the charismatics have us so afraid of worship, the word just makes our skin crawl. That's a shame. Did you read the song they sang tonight, "Bless Me, Bow the Knee"? I had a time like that this morning, early. On my knees, I just got blessed being in his presence. I thanked him for the sunrise. I thanked him for the sky. I thanked him for the green crops across the street with their brown tasseled corn, and the breeze was blowing and it was beautiful. I thanked God for that. That's his creation. And I praised him for it and thanked him for the day. Thanked him that I had eyes to see. Thank you that I had ears to hear and legs and live and move and have my being and praised His name for that, just worshiped Him a little while. I'm not suggesting that I do that as often as I should. I'm suggesting that all of us as Baptists probably ought to practice that more. And if we lived in that order, worship, walk, and work, there wouldn't be any of this stuff called burnout. There wouldn't be any of these problems. It would be all taken care of. He gives details about worshiping God, walking with God, and then working for God. In Genesis chapter 18, flip back just a couple of pages. Leviticus chapter 18. Look at Leviticus chapter 18, just a couple of pages back. God begins defining for His people His requirements for their walk. If you have a Scofield Bible, my heading says the relationships and walk of God's earthly people. Okay? And I want you to understand what He said in verse number 2. He says, well, and the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Implying here, you're going to walk in my ordinances instead. Now that's an interesting verse to me. Because it tells us where the children of Israel had been and where the children of Israel were going. You see that? He said, you're not gonna walk after the doings of the land of Egypt. That's where they were. They had been 430 years down there. And He also said, you're not gonna do or walk in the doings of the land of Canaan, whether I bring you. They weren't in Canaan yet. They were headed there. So God said, where you've been and where you are going, there's a people that do not walk in my ordinances. They don't worship me, obviously. They don't walk in my ordinances. They don't serve me. And you're not going to take any of the practices from the land of Egypt with you. And when you get to Canaan, you're not going to adopt any of their practices either. They were strangers in both lands, were they not? They were strangers in Egypt. They became strangers in Canaan. Of course, that became their land. It was inhabited before they got there. So God, very interesting verse there. Look at verse number, chapter number 20 now. Back to our text in verse number 25. And I won't take the time to read through that entire verse there, verse 25. Because in that verse, God separates His people from unclean animals. And then in verse 26, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. God separated them from the people of the world, lost folks. And the word God used in this verse is the word severed. Well, that's a drastic measure. I think of cut off. What do you think of when you hear the word sever? I think of cut off. God said, I've cut you off from other people. I have severed you. Why? That ye should be mine. God's pretty serious about His people. Pretty serious about His people. Be holy unto me. I have cut you off from those that are not mine because you are mine. You belong to me. And I'm very jealous of you. You're very special to me. And you're not going to live after the ways of the people who aren't mine. That's God's way. That's how He feels. That's how He is. His people are holy unto Him. Now, this is talking about Old Testament Israel. This is how God felt about the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And I understand we're in the New Testament day. So now, how does God feel in this New Testament day? Well, I can already taste. I'm going to show you how He feels. But let me just give you a little word here. As Brother Finn said in the DVD, God doesn't change. So if He felt special about His people back then, He probably does the same today. And He tells us that. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 in your New Testament now. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Titus 2 and verse number 11. And I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. Those of you that have been saved for some time, those of you that are new to the Lord, new to the church here, you might be unfamiliar with this. So let's read it. Verse number 11, chapter 2 of Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, like I said this morning, not embracing worldly lust, denying it, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, watch this, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what that word peculiar means? It means one's own. This knife is peculiar to me. It's mine. Okay? You got a knife in your pocket tonight, it's peculiar to you. This platform is not peculiar to any of us. It belongs to all of us. But that knife in my pocket is peculiar to me. It's mine. You have possessions that are yours. God says that Jesus Christ is building in this day and age and redeeming to Himself in this New Testament age a people who are His own. They're His. That's you and me. We're not part of the nation of Israel. We do not believe in replacement theology. We did not replace the nation of Israel. They are put on pause right now. The pause button has been pushed. God will push the play button again as soon as the tribulation period starts. That 70th week in Daniel starts, and He picks up His work with the nation of Israel again. We're not replacement theologians. We don't believe that. We believe that the New Testament church is distinct from the nation of Israel. Jesus said about us that we are His own. Okay. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what does He expect of those of us who are His own? He expects the same thing that He expected out of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verse number 14. He says, Paul did to the Corinthian people, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." That's His people in an unequal yoke with unbelievers. God said, don't do that. Don't get in that kind of situation. And then He gives several contrasts here. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. So forth and so on. Look at verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, among the unbelievers, among the God deniers, among those who are unrighteous, among those who are idolatrous, among those who are immoral. Come out from among them. And be ye separate. I don't know how people can fuss about this. I, with all these verses in the New Testament, I don't know how Baptist people can fuss about separation. I have no idea in my mind how in the world you can fuss about being as an independent fundamental Baptist. If you are that, you are a separatist, because that's part of being an independent Baptist. Being a separatist. I don't know how people can fuss about this. It's pretty obvious, pretty plain here. You know, in the New Testament, God puts a special emphasis on New Testament Christians being holy, being cut off from the world, and because we belong to Jesus Christ. Not much has changed about how God feels about His people from Old Testament to New Testament. Not much has changed. In the Old Testament, God separated His people from the world by law. That's what Leviticus is. But we're not under law. So what does God use to separate us from the world? I'm going to ruin some of you's day. Grace. If the law kept the Old Testament people from mingling with the world and being kept them separated, grace does more than that. Grace raises the bar. In Titus chapter 2, look at the grace of God teaches us. There it is again. I was on it this morning. Grace teaches us not to embrace ungodliness and not to embrace worldly lust. Grace teaches us to separate. Not law. You say, well, you folks that believe in separation, you're under law. No. You're sadly mistaken, and you're biblically incorrect. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. The Old Testament said if you commit adultery with the woman, you're in trouble. Grace came along and raised the bar. Said you lust after her and your heart's the same as committing adultery with her. Old Testament law said, thou shalt not murder. Grace came along and raised the bar. Said, you hate a brother in your heart. You're guilty. You hate him. I'm not under law because I'm a separatist. I'm not a legalist because I'm a separatist. I take issue with that. That comes from the lips of an uneducated person. Legalism has nothing to do with how we live. Legalism has to do with adding works to salvation. The Judaizers were legalists. They followed on the heels of the Apostle Paul, who preached salvation by grace and told those converts that they had to go back and keep parts of the Old Testament law or the salvation was no good. That's a legalist. It's reaching back into the Old Testament, taking something ceremonial and adding it to grace in the New Testament. That's legalism. Don't brand a biblical separatist a legalist. That's incorrect. Grace teaches us to separate. Grace teaches us that there is a severance. Grace teaches us that there is a separation, a distinction, a difference between God's people and the people of the world. Now, I understand we live among unsaved people. We work among unsaved people. And the truth of the matter is, we have a God-given mandate to take the gospel to unsaved people. So when God tells us duties don't conflict, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said duties never conflict. When God told us to be cut off somehow from the world, then God told us to witness to the world, there's got to be a way to reconcile those two commands. And there is. What God was demanding from His people was that their ways were to be different, their works were to be different, their walk was to be different, their worship was to be different from the world. You can't go out of the world. You can't build your little commune, gather you a few folks together, inbreed, stay behind some thick stone wall and have a little place of protection. That's not biblical. Well, I was preaching at Brother Bishop's, John Bishop's camp down in Rosebud, Arkansas, Brother Baker. And boy, this pastor came up afterwards and he reamed me out pretty good. And then Brother John, later on, I saw Brother, you know how Brother John talks with his sickness, talking. And I told him what the man was, he was really ripping me, man. I talked about the hair on the woman and how that it's a sign of submission, but that I had seen plenty of long-haired women who weren't submissive. He took issue with that. Come to find out, Brother Bishop told me later, the man has a commune. He's a Baptist preacher, has a commune. He's behind a wall, food. I mean, it's just strange. That's not biblical. We live. We have a God-given mandate to witness to Christians, to unsaved people, try to lead them to Christ. But while we are among them, we have a God-given command not to be like them. For Christians to be an effective witness, there has to be separation. You know, that's a little point of contention I have. The people who have a problem with separation, they're very, very, very ineffective witnesses. They chip their teeth at standards for a choir, or standards for Sunday school teachers, and how that it's legalism and it's so hard line. And they haven't passed a tract to a lost person for years. For years. For us to be effective Christian witnesses, there has to be separation. For us to be close to God, there has to be separation from the world. Now, our problem is the same problem that they had in the Old Testament. God was trying to prevent it from happening. It must be the same for all ages. It's contemporary Christianity. The word contemporary means marked by characteristics of the present period. Modern, current, marked by characteristics of the present period. Isn't that what God was telling His people in the Old Testament? He did not want from them. I do not want you marked by the people where you have been. I do not want you marked by the people where you're going. You're mine. I want you marked by my book. I want you marked by my ordinances. I want you marked by my precepts. I want you marked by my word. Not the people among who you live. That's contemporary. Marked by characteristics of the present period. Now, this is not what God wants when it comes to our ways. We live in the world. We live in a house. We drive a car. We work a job. That's a part of modern life. And God is not against that. He is for us being among them. He just does not want us to be like them. And it doesn't give us the license to raise our snoots in the air and think that we're better than them. But for the grace of God, there we all go. Remember, he told the children of Israel, he said, do not live like the people where you've been, and do not live like the people where you are going. People where they had been, down in the land of Egypt. You know what the Egyptians were marked by? Idolatry. Idolatry. Remember when Moses went up on the mountain, the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt? Moses went up on the mountain, was gone longer than they thought he should have been. So should have been. And they made an idol of the gods from where they came. Hey, that old brazen cow. One of the dumbest things that ever came out of a man's mouth was when Aaron said, Moses, I took the jewelry and threw it in the fire and that calf walked out. Huh? That's what he said. I'm sure Moses bought that one. Amen, huh? Yeah, sure. I got some land in what would have been Florida, I guess. I don't know where he would have said. I got some land somewhere. No Brooklyn Bridge either. Amen, so. Yeah. He said, you don't want you to be like the people where you are going. They were going into Canaan. You know what the Canaan, you know what marked the Canaanites? Immorality. Idolatry marked the Egyptians. Immorality marked the Canaanites. That's why Leviticus deals with all the subjects of the interfamily relationships as far as nakedness, and you shall not lie with, and you shall not have relationships, physical relationships with your aunt, your sister, your mother, your mother-in-law. All of that, that's how the people lived in the land of Canaan. He said, you're not going to live like that. That's not going to be a part of your life. Now, contemporary. God said, I've severed you. I've cut you out of the mass of the world. And I've cut you out and I've made you mine. And I want you to be a witness and I want you to be a testimony to the people who are still not mine. But I don't want you to ever forget that you are mine. Contemporary. Don't be a contemporary Christian. The Bible says about Demas, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know what got Demas? Contemporary Christianity. That's what got Demas. It's not a matter of not being saved, it's a matter of not being separated. Now, I've mentioned this several times in the last several weeks. I've had people say to me, what is contemporary Christianity? I realize some of you don't travel a whole lot. When you do travel, you have a like-minded sister Baptist church. And if you're ever in the St. Louis area on vacation and you're down there, Belleville, Illinois, there's a like-minded sister independent Baptist church. You go there, you'll have a great service. Get a good Bible message. You'll find that out in February, Lord willing. But Brother Baker is too. We are exposed, friend, to something. And I'm not talking tonight about the non-denominationalist. I'm talking about contemporary Christianity invading Baptist churches. We put enough money in the budget every year to join a couple of music organizations because we're constantly looking for music for the choir and sometimes the special groups that sing, and you join the club, if they call it a club, I guess they call it a club. You join the club, a couple $100, and they send you three or four times a year, they send you a bunch of material, and usually they include some CDs. And my wife and I, we'll pour through those CDs. We'll listen to the CDs. We don't listen to most of them. We don't listen to all of it. I understand tonight, you plan a sermon like this, you have all kinds of people come. If you're new to, if you don't even know what the difference is between fundamental Baptist and contemporary Christianity, I'm not plowing down your corn row tonight. I'm trying to talk to the members of Faith Baptist Church about what is a danger in our era right now. It's contemporary Christianity. I want you, and by the way, the publishing company that you will hear tonight, you're going to hear just a brief snippet of several songs, about four songs here. This is a Baptist publishing company. All right, Brother Payne, you got the CD number one. Play that just when I tell you to shut it off. This is the music. Track 21. Here we go. Track number 23. I hate to play more than a few seconds of it. I feel like defiled. Next for 23. That's true. That's enough. Problem is, some of you are sitting out there thinking, well, I listened to that at home. That's our problem. That's ungodly. Number two, track 21. That is. Kind of like we heard tonight, right? CD number three, track number four, Brother Payne. Any more than that. There's 25 tracks on these CDs. We listen to about that much of it. And we might get one decent song out of 25, Brother Baker, that our ladies can rework the music on and we can sing up here in an independent Baptist church. The special music ministry, it's work. In an independent Baptist church, it's work to keep it right. Because that's what's being shipped out to Baptist churches. They're playing it all over this country. Would you like to see some of these folks? Let's dim these lights up here and give me that. I got some pictures for you here, okay? This will be a blessing to you. Turn off these two right here, brother. These two, there you go. Can y'all see that all right? Okay. Next one. Next one. Now, I wish you could look at this. There's a picture of this. I guess this is supposed to be Jesus, right? This long-haired freak. And on his robe, it says, Tim is my homeboy. Go ahead. Beautiful. Okay. Hold it. I'm going to just back up there, brother. You see, if these were lost, dope-smoking, tavern-going boys, I could have compassion on them. They may be lost, but they're all... Keep going. Keep going. Beautiful. Is that the first time around? Okay, here we go. This is the same pictures. Keep going, brother. No. What we got? Where's our caption? Okay, here we go. These three, that was a picture we saw a little bit ago, alumni of Liberty University. That's DC Talk. Very proud of them. All time promoting them. Next one. Stellar Kart band that plays at Liberty University New Year's Eve concert called Winterfest. Baptist Church, Baptist University. Baptist Church, Baptist University. 10,000 to 12,000 kids from Baptist churches every year. Next picture. Band that plays at Liberty University, New Year's Eve concert called Winterfest. Go ahead. December Radio, band that plays at Liberty University, New Year's Eve concert called Winterfest. I see this every month. Go ahead. Disciple. As Peter, James, amen, Matthew. But the first time through these pictures, you'd have thought it was a rock and roll group. You'd have thought it was an unsaved rock and roll group. But these are all Christians. But down here, band that plays at the same, but Hawk Nelson. This next one's a peach. Turn it. Go ahead. This guy. Look at this guy. Earrings in both ears. Playing at a Baptist school. Go ahead. Cutlass. Oh, me. All right. Is that it? All right. End of slideshow. That was the best one on there. Amen. Now, Dr. Falwell is gone to heaven. I heard him preach the graduation exercise for Howells Anderson College 30 years ago. This is a flagship Baptist church, Southern Baptist Church. Flag was independent, now Southern Baptist. Flagship. I mean, brother, I can't tell you how widespread what you saw and what you heard. I can't tell you how widespread that is in Baptist churches. People come through here, visitors, I have them leading prayer, and they say something like, folks, you really ought to be thankful for your church because you do. And you think they're just being kind. Now, we're not the only one. The one in Belleville is not the only one. But I'm going to tell you, our number is decreasing. And that's what we're embracing. That's what our group is embracing. And that's the music that some of our group are embracing. I don't want to embrace that. I'm not going to embrace that. Don't bring that here. Sometimes that shows up here. Now, a few of you guys dress like those creatures. You dress like them. And you try to pass that off on me as being spiritual. We're legalists. Not so. If we'd have gone down through there the first time, you thought that was a rock. You would have thought that's, man of God, that maybe AC/DC. Those guys are lost, unsaved people. No, they're singing at Baptist Church about Jesus. And this is why I'm on it. You see a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit shows up here, a little bit shows up there, and a little here, a little there. And I'm just saying, you know what? Whoa, 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 whoa. If you don't know God, if you don't know Christ, man, come on in like you are. You're welcome. I want to preach the grace of God to you and tell you that God loves you and Jesus will save you and give you a home in heaven. But if you've been taught the Bible and if you've been taught right and you've been raised in Christian home and raised in Christian school, you're embracing that. And you want me to be okay with that? Nope. The cold day where the booger man lives. Some of you need to quit letting your kids change you. You're the parent. You let the kids change you. Be the parent. What God wants for Himself is a people cut off. You read it right there. You said, well, that was Old Testament severed. No, you read it in the New Testament that Jesus is redeeming to Himself a peculiar, His own. And He said to His own, you live among them, but don't you be like them. That's what Jesus said. We lose our distinction of separation, friend. We're gone. I got to quit, but we as a church have a big mission. Mark 16:15, we're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. In 1 Timothy 3:15, the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. I think in some cases, you've got some men who really are, their hearts really are compassionate. And they really want to reach people, and they're stepping outside the boundaries of truth. Justifying it by reaching, look at the crowds. By the way, they paid $150 a ticket to go there to that concert. $150 per ticket. $10,000 to $12,000. $150 a ticket. There has to be enough mercy and compassion to reach out to people where they are. If you're new here, if you're a visitor here tonight, I'm not jumping down your throat. I'm not stomping on your toes, friend. I'm glad you dropped into our church, and I'm glad that you're here. God bless you. And the greatest news in all the world is that Jesus loves you. But if you've been taught right, I'm going to tell you something. Enough mercy and compassion to reach out to people where there are, and there has to be enough steadfastness and truth to challenge people to grow out of what they are. In 1975, I went to an independent Baptist church for the first time, and it was different. And I went in as a long-haired hippie. And you know what? They shook my hand. And they said, we're glad you're here. And they made me feel welcome. And I was blessed. But they were different. They were kind and they were thoughtful, but they were not like me. And after I got saved, their life challenged me as a Christian. And we don't want a church that we could not have been saved in. Some of us, as hippies, we don't want to build a church that we couldn't be saved in. A church that's not friendly and a church that's not kind. And not compassionate, but friend, we also want a church, we don't want to have a church that we could not grow in. Now, if this is what you are, you're not independent Baptist. You're not a separatist. And I'm not mad at you. But if this is what you are, I can't tell you how many churches there are out there that are like you. Go find one. Go find one. And be happy. Why come to a church that's a separatist church and chafe all the time? And sit there and get mad because I'm a separatist. Because that's what I was saved, that's what I was taught to be from the Word of God, and I'm not going to change. And that's what this church called me here to be. A separatist. I'll tell you what is unethical. What's unethical is to stay here and new people come in, and we as a church are not contemporary, but you are. We're looking to be an example. We're a fundamental separated church. And you lead those folks to believe, you know, hey, it's all right. I'm not separated either. I'm contemporary. Don't worry. It's, you know, you're going to hear it, but don't let it get to you. There's other good preaching you'll enjoy. That's unethical. That's unethical. Amen. This is what is infiltrating our churches. And, you know, if people think you're ugly, you're not compassionate, then they're just going to have to think what they want to think. But I want to try to have a fine balance between compassion and mercy to reach out to people where they are, and yet also realize that we're the pillar and ground of the truth. We're very special to God. God never intended for us to be like them. Now, you know, I hated that young couple walked out a little bit ago. I hate that. I walked in and shook hands with them. I was hoping they'd stay. I knew what I was preaching tonight. I was hoping they'd stay. I was hoping they could handle it. I can't help that, folks. They call that, called me ugly or unkind. I think I've been here 17 years. I'm not perfect, but I'm not a mean man. But I want to be true to that book the best I can be. I'm trying to help you with your children and raise them upright. And you young people, God bless you. This is truth. What I preached tonight was truth. Among them, but not like them. If you can't handle that, you take that up with God. Because that's where your beef is. It's not with me. It's with Him. Amen. God keep us right, and God keep us strong, and God keep us soul winning, and God keep us running the buses, and God keep us reaching out to people and bringing them all in where they are. And help us to be an example to show them what God wants them to be. Amen. All right, let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That's contemporary Christianity there. Dear Father, help me tonight, please. Lord, build our church. But build it right. God, please. I don't want to get snooty and ugly, mean-spirited. Lord, I do not want to compromise in this contemporary Christianity. It's what you didn't want from your people in the Old Testament. You don't want it from us today. Keep us, Lord, in that perfect balance of mercy and truth. And I'll thank you for it. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're unsaved, would you come right to the front, tell Brother Caleb Hansen, I need to be saved. Need to be baptized. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, that's a different type message, I know. More of an FYI for your information. If the Lord spoke to you tonight, we have the invitation. While the ladies